Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website to submit your information for our free monthly giveaways. For more information, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com/contests. On today's show, Phyllis Stiles, director of Bee City USA, is going to talk about how your city can do its part to become a pollinator-friendly place. So I'd like to welcome to the show Phyllis Stiles. Good afternoon, Phyllis, and welcome to the show.
Hi, June. Thanks for having me.
Phyllis, could you share a little bit about yourself with our audience and how you became interested in bees?
Well, you know, June, all of us got the news, I think, back in 2006 when we heard about colony collapse disorder. It was headline news, and suddenly people who had never thought about honeybees before were talking about honeybees. Well, in North Carolina, there was a statewide appeal for people to go to bee school and become beekeepers. And if you were among the first so many who attended, then you would be supplied with startup kits to become a beekeeper, you know, some of the equipment. And I don't think they supplied the bees, but some of the equipment. And so my husband heard about that, and for years he had been interested in keeping bees. And he went to bee school and loved it, and suddenly we were hobby beekeepers in an urban setting. And for the first couple of years, he did it by himself, and I looked on and applauded, and I was so proud of him, and I thought it was really great. And he finally came to me and said, "You know, Phil, this would be a great thing to do as a couple. This would be really fun to do as a couple. I wish you would help me with this." And so I said, "I'm so afraid of being stung, but if it's that important to you, I'll go to bee school and I'll learn about beekeeping and I'll start helping you." So I did, and boy, did I get stung at bee school. I was just awestruck by the complex society that bees live in, all of the different jobs that all the bees do. It was just profoundly transformational for me. And so I was hooked. And to make a long story short, I started educating myself and reading, going to conferences, listening to the scientists, and just tried to get educated.
That's fabulous. I think that your approach is wonderful, and a lot of people are aware of what's going on with the bee population globally, that they are in a crisis, and your approach to educate yourself and to work with your husband and also provide outreach to other people so that they can understand what's going on and support the bees is just tremendous. There are a lot of people who say, well, if you want to help the bees, then become a beekeeper. I disagree. As a hobbyist beekeeper, it is a huge responsibility, and it's also pretty expensive. The thing is that most people don't realize that it's a relationship, and what you just described is just that. So it's wonderful to hear that. If a particular municipality wanted to become a Bee City USA destination, can you explain to our listeners what is involved with the process?
Sure. And let me pick up on your comment that not everybody needs to be a beekeeper, because when we were creating Bee City USA, we considered whether or not having a beekeeping ordinance would be a requirement for being a Bee City USA. And, you know, in the end, we opted not to make that a requirement because Bee City USA is trying to make people more pollinator conscious, more PC, if you will. And so we want people to just be aware that 85% of the world's flowering plants require an animal pollinator, usually a bee, but possibly a butterfly or a moth or a hummingbird or a bat or a beetle. There are so many animals that aid plants in their pollination so that they can reproduce and that they can fruit. And so we wanted people to realize that you can be a friend to pollinators without keeping bees, and we didn't want requiring that cities or towns have beekeeping ordinances to be an obstacle to that city being pollinator friendly, because that's what it's all about. What we're trying to educate the public about is that, yes, there's a precipitous decline in pollinator populations around the world, and that each of us can do an awful lot to help the pollinators. So when we set up the guidelines for being a Bee City USA, it was largely about awareness of just how important the pollinators are. You know, we can thank a pollinator with every third bite of food that we eat, and that's pretty amazing when you start to think about the most healthy foods that we eat are owed to pollinators, the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts. Most of them require pollinators either to be produced at all or to increase the yield of those fruits or vegetables. So they're pretty important. Over 150 food crops in the United States rely on pollinators. So that awareness of the fact that even though we live in cities, we can still help the pollinators. You know, when they did a survey of native bees in New York City, can you imagine any place that's more urban? They found over 200 species of native bees. That gives us great hope, and it makes us realize that if the problem for bees is that they lack habitat, and what we mean by habitat is places where they can forage to get their nectar and their pollen, and their pollen is their protein source and the nectar is their carbohydrate source, if that's what they're lacking, then let's give them more habitat. And what we also mean by habitat is places to nest, because 70% of native bees nest in the ground. But if we're manicuring every square inch of our landscape and putting grass everywhere and weed-eating everywhere and covering every inch of bare ground, where are the 70% of native bees supposed to nest? Then there's the question of where they overwinter. That's another part of habitat. We need to leave brush piles and dead trees and rock crevices for bees to overwinter so that come spring, they can come back out and start the cycle all over again. So that's what we emphasize at Bee City USA, that cities adopt a resolution. They have to do that as a city council, and in the resolution it spells out the commitments that they're making. And so one of the commitments that they're making is that they will have at least one, and we hope many, annual awareness events to educate people about how they can help pollinators. We ask them to put up a sign, and that's another awareness raiser. That has our website on it, and it's declaring that that community, that municipality, has taken a stand as a friend to the pollinators. We ask them to have a web page that talks about what they're doing with the pollinators. And we ask them to have a standing committee so that there's an official group in that community that's an advocate for pollinators. And we took that right out of Tree City USA's playbook. We thought that was brilliant, that you have to have a tree commission in your city if you want to be a Tree City USA that's advocating on behalf of the trees. So in our case, it's on behalf of the pollinators. And then lastly, we asked that cities reapply every year. If we certify a city as a Bee City USA, we don't want them just to put up a pretty sign and then forget about it. We want them to continually educate themselves, enhance their landscapes, think about what they're doing with pesticides very, very carefully, and become friendlier and friendlier year in and year out to the pollinators so that they become a haven for pollinators. And so in that annual renewal application, they have to give us a report on what they did the previous year, and we want that report to be posted on their webpage so everybody can see it. And then, you know what is already happening with the six cities that we have certified so far across the country is that the citizens are holding the city leaders, the staff, and the elected officials accountable. They're saying, you said we're a Bee City USA, so why aren't we doing this, that, or the other? If we truly are friendly to pollinators, then let's think about what we're doing with pesticides. Let's think about our planting choices. Let's plant more native plants. Let's plant so that there's food for the pollinators from spring through fall. That kind of accountability is the whole point of what Bee City USA is all about. It's about creating a structure for being pollinator conscious.
Do you have to be a city in order to apply for this certification?
You have to be a municipality, but what's happening, and it's the way that we want it to happen, is that generally it's not the city staff or the elected officials that contact us. It's some citizen. It might be a beekeeper. It might be somebody who knows all about native plants. It can be anybody, and they contact us, and the first thing that we say to them is that what you should do to get started is build a coalition. You start talking to the advisory boards that deal with sustainability in your community, with the organizations that are concerned about plants and about pollinators and about wildlife. Those are the people who are going to be your allies in trying to open the eyes of your community to be more concerned about pollinators and to be pollinator advocates. And so while it has to be a municipality ultimately that gets certified, the people that can make it happen are just anybody from top to bottom. It can be an elected official, and that has happened. But it can also be just somebody out in the community who's concerned, and they start talking to their neighbors, they start talking to city staff, and together they form a movement to say, yeah, we want to take a stand for bees.
Is there a cost involved for the application process?
You know, we debated about our own sustainability when our committee here in Asheville, North Carolina, came up with this idea. And we said, well, gosh, how are we going to sustain this stuff? Because there are costs to running an organization, as we all know. But we chose not to charge cities to become Bee City USAs because we said, well, if we do that, a lot of cities are just going to say no out of hand. They're just going to dismiss it out of hand because they're going to say that budgets are tight and they can't afford one more thing. So there is no charge. The only direct charge is for the city to put up at least one street sign in a prominent location. And so far, that's cost anywhere between $75 and $100, and that's a one-time charge. We send them the artwork. But that's the only absolute cost to becoming a Bee City USA. What we're trying to do is inspire municipalities. We want them to do what's meaningful for them and what's within their ability to do. And so it's a lot of collaboration. It doesn't have to cost any more than what you're already doing. You're already landscaping, so why not choose a locally native plant? You know, that's a big paradigm shift for most people and for most municipalities. So it's not going to cost you any more. It's just doing things a little bit differently.
How can people get involved?
Well, the easiest way to get involved is to go to our website, bcityusa.org, and there's a contact form on the website where you can send us a message if you have a question. Believe me, we get so many different kinds of questions. It's amazing. and they come from around the world, literally. But if you read our website, if you go to Become a Bee City USA, there's a resolution template, and there's an application form, and there's an explanation. And once you've read that, if you send us your contact form, when I respond, I'll give you our phone number. And if you want to have a conversation, we can talk about what's involved and what seems to be working well in other communities and brainstorm what might work in your community for building your coalition. But in terms of getting involved once you are a Bee City USA, oh my gosh, communities are so ingenious and creative, and they have so much passion. They are having presentations at public libraries. They're having speakers come in to talk about native plants and pesticides and alternatives to pesticides. They are children's programs and planting school gardens, pollinator-friendly school gardens. They are coming up with their own native pollinator-friendly plant list. They are having honey tastings. They're having demonstrations about beekeeping. They are putting pollinator-friendly plants along greenways where people can see them and become inspired so that the city is modeling the behavior that they want their residents to adopt. It's just unending what you can do once you decide that you want to be pollinator-friendly. You know, there's truly no end to it.
Thank you. Phyllis, it has been fabulous talking to you. I really admire all of the hard work, energy, and effort that you're putting into this whole program. I think that this is something that needs to happen in every town, every city, every municipality. It's a great way to engage with the public as far as the need to protect our pollinators. So thank you so much for your time today.
June, thank you so much for having me and for helping us to spread the word. We appreciate all that you're doing.
Oh, you're very welcome. And folks, please check out the companion article, which will be available on theorganicview.com, which will have all the links that Phyllis mentioned so that you can begin your application process for your town. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, folks.